The last time agencies transitioned to a new telecommunications contract was in the mid-2000s, when it took an extra 33 months and cost $395 million more than initially planned. The General Services Administration promised to fix those problems with the Networks contract as it developed the new vehicle called Enterprise Infrastructure Solutions, or EIS. Agencies have 3 years to move to EIS, but some are concerned about meeting GSA's self-proclaimed deadline. In his weekly feature, The Reporter's Notebook, Federal News Radio executive editor Jason Miller writes about whether it's too early to be concerned about EIS transition and why some agencies think it's not. So Jason, remind us what the Enterprise Infrastructure Solutions contract is all about, or it's often called EIS. What is it?
This is GSA's next generation telecommunications contract. So you remember probably in the mid-2000s, there's something called Networks. That's with an X, of course. And now what we're doing now is moving to the next generation. And this is a 15-year, $50 billion telecommunications contract. And this is really going to cover everything that the agency needs: voice, video, data. So any call you make, any internet connection you have, anything that you need to use it, voice over IP as an example, will come from this contract. GSA basically wrote a 251-page statement of work back in October of 2016, and it has four mandatory areas like virtual private network service or Ethernet transport service or voice and managed network service. We could go through them all. And what is happening now is the bidders have submitted their bids. We are hearing about 10 different companies, which is much more than the five under the other networks contract. And awards potentially could be made in the late May, early June, mid-June timeframe. And I think this is why we're starting to talk about this with this contract now, because awards are very close.
And so what's the concern from agencies, at least, about this transition and moving on to this new contract?
Well, last time, as you mentioned, it took 33 months longer. It cost the government almost $400 million more than they had planned. And I think things were a lot more complicated. GSA promised to make it less complicated. But here we are just about 3 years from the transition date. GSA has set a March-May timeframe, 2020, for the transition to be complete. And I think agency chief information officers and others are stepping back going, this is going to be a lot more difficult than we think. I think a lot more difficult than agencies think. And in fact, Beth Killerin, the Department of Health and Human Services Chief Information Officer, she participated in an online Ask the CIO chat with us. And one of the questions she got was around the transition to EIS. And she was very, you know, clear in her concerns. She says, listen, we've submitted our transition plan to GSA in October, and we're still concerned about the timetable. We're working to develop cost estimates for the transition. But she believes, as she said, EIS is 6 months behind schedule. GSA has not extended the agency time for transition. She said last time, so we're talking about mid-2000s, HHS had about a 200,000 inventory of their items that had to go from the old contract to the new contract. 6 years later, here we have, actually more than 10 years later, we have, as she says, 400,000 inventory items, and only about 2.5 or 3 years to make that transition. She says it's just not feasible. And I think she's not alone. If you look around the Justice Department, the Interior Department, others have released requests for information. They're starting to get the process going. I've talked to USDA, the agriculture, about their network consolidation. They're very much dependent on EIS for major changes to their network. And I think as you see the inventory items grow, it's not a lift and shift. It's new technologies, new changes that are coming. And I think that's where that concern is coming from. Nicole also spoke with Bob Woods. He's a president of Topside Consulting, a former GSA executive. He's been following the telecommunications since FTS 2000 and before. So that's you know, over 20 years ago. And one of the things he says is delays are to be expected in any big transition like this, especially as GSA faces potential bid protests with awards. And even if you don't get a bid protest, there's going to be a lot of challenges that are always come with this. So he said, listen, he's hearing from his clients and the people he talks with government that these challenges will exist and a delay is inevitable.
And so agencies, it seems as if they have a lot of things to transition and not a whole lot of time to do it. And we'll get to GSA's position on how they're doing on this in a minute, but it would also seem like the budget and the uncertainty around that is going to pose some challenges too.
And that's what one CIO told me. They said that they don't even know their budget yet for 2017 or 2018. That's still in the process. They're developing their 2019 budget now as we talk about, as we wait for it. So how to plan for the EIS transition, not knowing what your budget's going to look like, also plays a big role. Now, previously, GSA, and I think they're doing it again this year, has paid for the transition. Now, they still probably will do that again, but what does that mean for agencies? Because there's always going to be other costs. I don't think GSA is going to pay for every single dollar that they need. So I think that plays into it. And I think the networks and the systems and the data centers, everything is more complicated. And then you add cloud on top of it. And where does that fit in? And that's supposed to help things become more simple. But at the same time, it adds just another piece to the puzzle.
And did GSA tell you anything else about how it's preparing for all of this?
So I did hear from GSA, and they've done a very good job of trying to communicate with industry. They said, this is what they told me through a spokeswoman, they're ahead of the previous transition in terms of planning execution, but agencies have to be prepared to execute the task order request as soon as the EIS contract is awarded. If agencies wait till well after the award to develop their requirements and go through the process, then the move to EIS will be delayed no matter when EIS is awarded. The other interesting thing they told me about was the communication plan that they've been working on. They've had, you know, discussions with executives in agencies. They've asked each agency to have a transition manager, a lead sponsor. They've also, you know, the agencies have also complied with these requests, and they believe while the 3-year timeline is aggressive, they believe it is achievable. But again, it's a combination of agencies, GSA, and industry all working together.
Now, Jason, you also wrote about a sort of self-review almost of the National Institute of Standards and Technology, something that it's working on. What did you find out about that?
Now, this is fascinating. This is one of those provisions tucked into a bill that until someone tells you it's there, you have to really look for it. But the American Innovation and Competitiveness Act, which President Barack Obama signed into law on January 4th, directs NIST to evaluate the effectiveness of their cybersecurity guidelines and standards. Now, this is like the 853 that you may have heard about, or this is like a Federal Information Processing Standard, things that NIST puts out and updates regularly and agencies must implement. Now, what Congress is basically telling NIST to do is not figure out what agencies are doing, but figure out what they're doing and if they're doing it well and how they can help agencies do it better. Now, what's interesting about this is at the same time is Congress is also pushing a bill that would give NIST what they call auditability oversight or responsibility to audit how agencies are implementing these standards. So while they're doing a self-effacing look on one hand, Congress is also telling them to really shake their fist at agencies and say, why aren't you doing this better? Now, that bill that I just mentioned is just been introduced. It's got through committee, but whether it will become laws is far off. What's in front of us is really what NIST has to do is really work with agencies to figure out how they're doing in terms of implementing the standards and guidelines. One last thing that's really interesting about this effort is for years, there's been a problem between agency CIOs and chief information security officers and the auditor community. Mainly because NIST says do A, B, C, and there's 26 or whatever many there are. And the agency CIO says, well, we're going to do 15 of them because we're going to accept the risk on these other 11, as just for argument's sake. And auditors tend to come in and say, wait a minute, NIST told you to do 26, you only did 15. We're going to give you a slap on the wrist or a -1. And I think that this review will help bring these two parties even closer together. They've made a lot of progress, but they still can come closer together and they'll get away from this. You're supposed to do it all. Well, I only did the ones that mattered to us based on our risk profile and then the back and forth that happens.
So you're saying that NIST is basically looking at why agencies aren't able to do what it's asking. At the same time, there's potentially a push asking NIST to say to the agencies, why aren't you doing what we've told you to do?
In some ways, yeah. So NIST really, it's the first piece that's passing the law that they're working on, they're going to begin to work on, is really about themselves. How are we perceived? How is our standards and guidance perceived by agencies? What challenges do they have? How can we make them better? This other push, which is still going through the process of Congress, basically is saying, NIST, you should have some oversight responsibility. You should again have both carrot and stick over agencies. And right now that role is done by OMB and the Homeland Security Department.
Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller, thank you.
Always a pleasure.
You can find his weekly reporter's notebook at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.